For women and children in crisis, since 1955, there's been a place in downtown Fresno where Christ leads, where people care and where lives have been changed and are being changed. That's at the Evangel Home of Fresno. And thanks for joining us for the weekly radio voice of the Evangel Home. This is Heartline with your host, Jim Tuck.
What a delight to be able to turn on our little digital handheld recorder and start push the record button and start a next adventure of Heartline from Evangel Home of Fresno. And, you know, we're in Jerry Brenneman's office, like happens all but a couple of times a year normally. And Jerry is here, and we have a very special, long-time good friend with us. Peter's here today. And, you know, Peter kind of symbolizes the wonderful people we have who are volunteers here at Evangel Home, and Peter in chapel service with his wife Florence for many years. So Jerry, make that introduction, and then we want to talk with Peter and about what Evangel Home has been in his world.
Okay, thank you, Jim. As we talked a little bit earlier, and Peter talked about your magical recording device here that just is amazing how that all happens. You know, I'm still amazed, Jim, when I look at something on Amazon and download it, and then I have it on something I can look at it on in like 5 seconds. That is amazing to me. Things like that have changed. The technology, even in the last year, is just crazy. But then you have the constant, consistent, loyal people like Peter that don't change at all. Yeah, we might change the way we give a message, or we might change our hair, we might change our approach, but we don't change our heart, we don't change our commitment. So Peter's been coming at least 25 years. I think he was here before I was doing counseling, right?
I did some counseling. I was on the board in the mid-80s when we bought those apartments next door.
I forget that part. He would have been my boss. Whoa, no wonder I forget that part. But all of the things that have changed, and yet folks like Peter are such a part of the team, and they don't change. Mm-hmm. They're consistent there. And he has seen a tremendous change in our women, too. They're a lot harder in many ways than probably when he first started, because they have more issues. We're seeing more second, third, and fourth generations through here. Anyway, that's just my kind of around the convoluted way of introducing Peter, that lots of stuff on the outside changes, but when God has our hearts, that doesn't change. And, you know, you just pray about ways you can keep reaching new generations of people that don't know him. Jim, that's another big change that Pete and I have both seen, I'm sure. Even 10 years ago, most women came in here with a Bible. They would have a Bible, and they would have family pictures always. Now they might have a phone with their pictures. They're not going to have an album. And fewer of them have Bibles. Fewer and fewer of them really know what to do with the Bible. Mm. And it's, again, they're not being brought up that way. Then we're all now being exposed to so many things that just, so we don't have to make a decision or a commitment about anything. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes now Peter is talking to women that really haven't given their life to the Lord. They haven't given their life to anything. They're just out there tossing in the wind.
Yeah. Well, Pete, let's back up. Are you from Fresno?
No, I was born in Iowa and grew up in Michigan. And I went to Christian schools and Calvin College in Grand Rapids.
Okay. Yeah. What brought you to Fresno when?
Well, I was working in a church in San Luis Obispo and not very happy in it, except for the college ministry part. So I thought, maybe I ought to teach in the college level. So I went in 67 and got a master's degree at Fresno State. Oh. And then started teaching at Fresno City College in the fall of 68. And stayed there full-time till 94 and then part-time till 2011.
And what'd you teach?
Mainly speech and interpersonal communication, and started a class in literature of the Bible and did some philosophy and some other stuff.
Okay.
And we got the benefit of all of that knowledge here.
Yeah. So when did your sweet bride, when did Florence come into the picture? Where did you kids meet?
Well, I was attending Fuller Seminary, and she was going to USC, and I was living in a dying church down in L.A.
And when was this?
In 65 and 66. So we were married in July 2 of 66. You know, so it would have been 47 years just this past July, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's with Jesus now.
Oh, yeah. She wanted to be with Jesus. Yeah. Maybe that was part of the promise. Maybe she didn't fight enough her depression and her Parkinson's, yeah. You know. But she was looking forward to being with him, that's for sure.
Yeah. So you guys did chapel services together starting when?
Well, it was in the late 80s, and then she retired in 90. And when
from
I was
teaching, correct?
From teaching. She taught in the Fresno Unified School District till 1990. And so she was teaching, she was doing the chapel service when I couldn't teach, when I couldn't do the chapel service because of schedule conflicts at City College. But for most of the years we did it together.
Okay. She was a pistol.
Well, people loved her, you know.
She was a pistol.
Yeah, very, very high energy and a wonderful communicator and a happy kind of person. Is that your recollection?
Yeah, and you know, it's funny, I was just thinking one of my fondest memories of Florence was the first time that she brought in her accordion. And none of the women then really knew what it was. And Florence, I don't think, had played in a while, so she kind of had to practice through chapel. But I remember that what is that thing? The women hadn't seen one. And then it was interesting because after Florence passed away and I looked at Evangel Home's Facebook page, how many women said how they loved Florence's teaching in chapel, and they also loved that she always threw out candy kisses when they memorized scripture. I didn't know that. I just thought they were all reacting to Florence.
When we remember them.
Well, Pete, over the years, if I was to just hand you a piece of paper and a pencil and say, write down some highlights here, what are some of the things that come to your mind first?
Well, probably doing worship, singing together is a highlight. Doing some exposition of scriptures, but especially doing some teaching about inner healing prayer and how to use the brain better to turn off tension and anger, to turn on acceptance, and which is in the biblical frame of mind, it's gratitude, praying with thanksgiving. You can use the brain better. You know, there's a lot of neurological science that I've learned about in the last 11 years and try to teach some of that so they can turn off their tension and teach them principles of forgiveness, that all the past and all the negativity that they go through, that we go through, the pain, the rejection and all that, are really on the cross. Mm-hmm. And if they can just come to grips with that and accept that, that allows them to forgive others and themselves. You know, so often they beat themselves up and they keep doing the same thing because of that self-rejection, that self-hatred, that punishment. You know, it doesn't work.
No, God really knew what he was talking about when he told us to, in everything, give thanks, pray without ceasing, rejoice always. There's very good, that's for our benefit that we are given those commands.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And you know what Peter is talking about, I see, it's one of those life ironies that some of the women he's talking about, the self-loathing, I hate myself, and they are every bit as self-absorbed as the most prideful, arrogant person on the planet, because it is all about me.
Mm-hmm, sure.
So it's really two extremes of lack of gratitude, I think.
Yeah.
So.
And then as they come to understand that, then we point them back to the real priorities: love God, love others,
right,
which the rest of life flows from that.
Yeah.
If we can catch that understanding that it all starts with seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, and all this other stuff will happen. Love God, love your neighbor, the first two great commandments.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I want to also back up a bit because Pete used to be on the board, you know, in the mid-80s, and that would be an interesting trip down memory lane, Peter, to if you can go back and remember what it was like even physically around here before we got the apartments.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was an exciting time because when we bought those three apartments next door complexes, it only took about a half year before they were ready to go, and there was just one miracle after the other. Mm-hmm. People providing labor, people providing material stuff. It was just amazing. I told that story to an atheist colleague at City College, and immediately he just poo-pooed it. Sure. and they were just trying to earn their way into heaven.
Yeah. He said, it doesn't work.
No, but that was impressive. And over the years, just being here, it seems like when I come here, I just sense again and again the presence of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. It's been amazing.
Yeah.
I've felt that, you know, regardless of my spiritual condition.
Are there any particular women, any situations that stand out and say, she was spectacular, God did really amazing stuff? Or is it just generally true?
Yeah, generally true. I don't know if I can think of a specific person. Because once in a while I think of a person that we have really worked with and all that, and then later on I find that person down at Poverello House. You know,
you have. You never know. And then on the other hand, we have some that we almost say, get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
And you slam the door behind them. And then
you're ready to go
there,
on.
And then we find out they're doing really well. Yeah. So.
Well, Pete, it's just a delight because I normally come on Tuesdays to record. Tuesday, your chapel day, and so we cross paths frequently in here. And, you know, it's just something about God's faithful servants that are encouragement just by their presence to see other faithful servants ministering. Yeah, if he can do it, I can do it.
You know, one of our volunteer teachers, Joy, who's taught Bible study for many, many years, assigns homework. I mean, that is not an easy little Bible study class we're talking about. The women were shocked at last year's banquet when we had volunteers stand, when they saw her stand.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are so used to thinking anybody with that kind of commitment obviously has to be getting paid for it.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of Peters and a bunch of Joys, not just Evangelhome, but I look at all over the kingdom of God in the city and how many people.
Throughout the kingdom. And we're out of time. Just a quick reminder, we've got the banquet coming Tuesday, September 24th, 6:30 at Tornino's. And there's still some tickets available. So give us a call at 264-4714. Reserve your seats, tables.
And we're half sold out. And we're a month away from the event. So I think tickets, and last year we did sell out and had to turn a few away, so please call early.
Yeah, get right on it. And paper products always, prayers every day. And Pete, thank you. Jerry, it's always a pleasure. And so we wrap up this adventure of Heartline from Evangelhome of Fresno.
And I'm happy to let you know that anywhere on the face of the earth with an internet connection, you can find the Evangelhome at evangelhome.org. Pretty simple to remember, evangelhome.org. That phone number again in the 559 area code, 264-4714. Thanks for joining us for this week's edition of Heartline, the radio voice of the Evangelhome in Fresno.